It's here and now, and today America's most popular newspaper turns 125 years old. I'm not talking about USA Today or the New York Times. I am talking about the Wall Street Journal, which at least by subscription numbers wins with close to 2.4 million. That beats its rivals by hundreds of thousands. The first issue went on sale on this date in 1889 for 2 cents. Today, the journal sells for $2. So far, the Wall Street Journal has won 34 Pulitzer Prizes and led with innovations that are now the standard for the newspaper industry, like printing on both coasts on the same day to be a truly national paper. Now, the paper was bought from the Bancroft family by Australian media baron Rupert Murdoch in 2007 and now shares space with Murdoch-owned Fox News in New York. For more on the Wall Street Journal's big milestone and its history, we're joined from New York by David Folkenflik, media correspondent for NPR. David, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy.
Well, and when we say the most subscriptions of any paper in the U.S., how is the journal avoiding the trouble plaguing other newspapers, or is it?
Well, the key thing is if you ask the question, how do you get people to pay money to read newspapers? For many years, most newspaper companies essentially invited people to read free online. And in some ways, many media executives have regretted that decision. The Wall Street Journal instituted a paywall early. It kind of tinkered with the form it took, but basically it takes a minority of its articles, dangles them out for free to get some hits, but also to try to lure people in to subscribe. And it also has a slightly different proposition than most newspapers. It's both a national newspaper, in fact, in some ways with global reach, but it also has for most of its history really said, you know, we are going to define the best business journalism possible, particularly on issues affecting corporate and financial matters and markets. And therefore, we are indispensable for a significant band of readers in a way that most newspapers just aren't. They can find political reporting elsewhere. They can find sports reporting elsewhere, particularly in this day and age. Well, they are betting and bet fairly well that their readers would find them irreplaceable, that they might add other paid subscriptions, but they wouldn't reject subscribing, paying money.
A lot of their readers might be having the company pay the subscription charges as well.
That's
because they
right.
need it to do their work, just as they need, in many cases, those Bloomberg terminals that people on Wall Street will pay thousands of dollars a month so that they have the latest financial information. So, David, a lot of people who read the journal outside of Wall Street have this view of it as a conservative newspaper. I have to say I read it every day, and other than the editorial page, which is very conservative, the news reporting does seem to be quite balanced. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's funny. You know, when I was just out of college, I met a guy who was a reporter for the Journal on a number of different beats, very experienced, very respected. And he kind of laughed and said that the extremely conservative editorial page, which in many ways had provided much of the intellectual backbone for the Reagan Revolution and, you know, the backlash of the right in the 70s and particularly the 80s, that editorial page had provided cover for its journalists, many of whom perhaps did have some liberal tendencies, that they didn't come under the same attack that people who are working as journalists at CBS or the New York Times or the Washington Post might have. I think that the journal has always prided itself on reporting right down the middle and working very hard to strip out anything that might strike readers as having a strident or an activist tone in any way or an agenda. That said, you know, its agenda is the idea of, you know, it's pro-markets but for clean markets. And I would say under the ownership of Rupert Murdoch, there's been a bit of a shift in how certain kinds of stories are played. We can talk about that in a minute. But I think the Wall Street Journal in some ways has best exemplified the notion that American reporting can be muscular and vital and still be avoid taking on ideological agendas.
Well, how has it changed under Murdoch? I remember speaking with a former Journal reporter after Murdoch took over who said to me on background that one of the things that had changed was that they would put all the news in the lead and the rest of the stories would become really the background that everyone already knew, that there was a lot less reporting being done to do really in-depth pieces. But what are you seeing in terms of the changes under Murdoch? You wrote the book, of course, Murdoch's World.
Well, indeed. And in reporting on the journal and on the acquisition by Murdoch and also in doing some deeper reporting on the book, it seemed to me that there were changes in two baskets. The first question is the nature of the newspaper. Murdoch didn't want to take over the Wall Street Journal to be the best read financial news organization in the country. He wanted it to be a worthy competitor and, in fact, to defeat the New York Times at its own game of being the best general interest newspaper in the country. So you've seen a shift to more political stories and a backing away from some of the really in-depth looks at certain kinds of financial and business transactions, even as I think they've done some very, very able work. You know, if you think of the journal's traditions, there were a couple of things they did. They introduced coverage that they would appeal to people who had deposits as banks, not simply for bankers, so that that got them away from being kind of a trade publication. They had deeply analytical stories that got ahead of the news. For example, there's this very famous front page headline on December 8th, 1941. The headline read, "War with Japan means industrial revolution in the United States." Hmm. That's the morning after Pearl Harbor. They were thinking ahead as to what this would mean for the U.S. already. So that was a newspaper that prided itself on its writing and its thoughtfulness, its intellectual scoops as well as its, you know, sort of investigative scoops. Murdoch feels that there's been in journalism far too much emphasis on things that might win prizes and Pulitzers and to impress other journalists and academics and liberals more generally. And so he wants the news straight up. He took the Times of London similarly and made it peppier and lighter. He introduced more cultural coverage, terrific coverage of sports. They've got this columnist, Jason Gay. They just do so many things with a lighter touch, but also in some ways, at times, a less writerly touch. The second element that I really got into in the book is that at key moments, at times, particularly at the height of election and campaign seasons, there were times where dozens of reporters and editors I talked to found that a thumb was put on the scale to bring things a little bit more towards the political right, to cast perhaps Democrats or liberals in a slightly less flattering light. Now, Murdoch and Jared Baker, the editor-in-chief currently, and his predecessor, Robert Thompson, both of whom previously worked for Murdoch, would say, well, we're pulling the newspaper to dead center because it was actually quietly a more liberal report than it should have been. But I think you've seen a lightening of the paper, a broadening of the paper to make it less financial, but also at times a pulling of the paper a little bit rightward in its reporting, its selection of headlines and the like.
That's NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik joining us from New York. His book on Rupert Murdoch, by the way, is Murdoch's World, The Last of the Old Media Empires. And he was talking with us about the Wall Street Journal, which turns 125 years old today. And by the way, reporters at the Journal got a scoop of Wall Street Journal ice cream with the motto, 125 years of scoops. You're listening to Here and Now.